Also want to extend Christian greetings to each one this morning. Glad to be in the house of God and to worship together with the, maybe don't feel quite as prepared as I should and didn't get here on time because of some problems, and anyway, we go on from here. Glad to be here and invite you to worship with us as we look into God's Word. And the subject that I felt led to bring this morning is principles for our clothes. Principles for our clothes. You can look at Romans chapter 12. A lot of times this passage is given for a text when you think about nonconformity and dress, and that's where I've chosen to take some of my thoughts from. I know this is a big subject, and we don't have near everything to cover this morning, but it is a big subject, I think an important subject, and it's a big subject for the Christian, and it's a big subject for the world. And if you think about that and all the time and money that goes into clothes design, you can very easily see that it's a big subject to the world as well. Both the kingdom of this world and the kingdom of Christ have something that decides what they wear. We have principle. The title says principles for our clothing. There's something that decides what we wear, and we want to look at God's Word. That's the principle that guides the kingdom of Jesus Christ, and there are other things that guide the kingdom of this world. I'll just read the first five verses of Romans chapter 12 at this time. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt through every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Now, my goal for this message is that we would focus on the kingdom of Christ and the Word of God to give us principles on this subject. We could focus on how bad the kingdom of this world is and talk about that, but that gets us sidetracked. We want to focus on the Word of God, the kingdom of Christ, and get principles that way. And we need to make application to principles as a church. It is necessary that we do that. And principles in themselves are good, but it needs to keep on going. Applications need to be made. It's not being different from the world is not a justifying factor in our life just for the sake of being different. That would be the wrong focus. If you're different just to be different, you're focused on the wrong thing. But if we don't make application and only stop at the principle, then we'll let go of the principle as well. And many times we shy away from, or we're warned about Calvinism, and rightly so, but you think about it, that's basically where their doctrine stops, is because the principle might be there, but it's not put into shoe leather. And it goes in, and of course, that's a subject that goes into all areas of life. But we need to take principles of God's Word and put them to practice, which would be application. And another thing is that not all applications... Well, there are different applications. There's Bible principles, but they can be applied in different ways in different settings. So I'm not trying to hold up a certain application or so forth this morning. Another thing I'd like to say right at the beginning is I'm not here this morning to make rules about what we wear. I'd like to bring this message in a relaxed atmosphere where we can think about the principles of God's Word, and if I use a description or a illustration this morning, I'm not making it a rule. I'm giving principles, and if we go down the line of an illustration. It's not because it's a rule. I'm just giving an illustration. And another thing is the way we dress is not the whole picture. We need to be careful about that part of it as well. It is part of the picture. The way we dress is part of the picture, but it's not the whole picture. And I know that there can be a lot of controversy over the subject, and I'd rather that we use this time for good godly discussions rather than controversy. That's what my desire is this morning. Well, I have a number of points here taken from Romans chapter 12, the first five verses there. Number one, when we think about principles for our clothes, is that a relationship with Christ is the foundation. And it's the foundation for all of the Christian life, not just for clothes, but all of it. And notice there in verse 1 that he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. When we understand what we have been saved from and what God did for us, there's a lot of things that take place in our life when we understand that. We understand the lost condition that we were in and the sacrifice that Jesus made. I think it's the motivating factor that gives us, that makes us want to give our bodies back to Jesus as a living sacrifice. And certainly as we give our lives over to Jesus Christ, then the way we present that body would be directed by His Word. So it's a foundation. The foundation of all of the Christian life is a relationship with Jesus Christ. We cannot put other things first. If we give our bodies back to Jesus, then certainly the way we dress would please Him. You know, if we love someone, it's not that hard to dress like they want us to dress, and that's the way it is in our relationship with God. The love that we have for God, and we understand what He did for us, how we can have a relationship, it makes it easy to fall into line with what the principles that He's given. Maybe you could think about it as the husband and wife relationship, and probably most of us husbands have changed something about the way we've our personal appearance because of our wife's suggestion. And it wasn't that hard to do because there was a relationship there, but the change didn't make the relationship, but it was a result of the relationship. And so there, maybe just a little parallel there, that dress does not make the relationship with Jesus Christ, but it is a result of the relationship. And it shows. Number two, nonconformity to the world comes from a transformed and renewed mind. In verse 2, it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So nonconformity comes from a transformed and renewed mind. It's not the other way around. We cannot dress someone into the kingdom of God. You can't do it that way. That does not mean that Christian values are not helpful when we apply them. They are. And maybe we talked a little bit about that in Sunday school class, the way this country is going down. When Christian values were held, it did make a better country, but it didn't save the country. And that's the way it is in our own life. We cannot have nonconformity be the deciding factor. There are actually people that live that way, that whatever is common they go against, and that's not what we're after this morning. We want to go from a transformed and renewed mind, and in that sense we are non-conformed to the world, as it says the first part. And be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So the non-conformity is a result of the transformed and renewed mind. We talked about applying Christian values to ourself. That is valuable to do that, but it does not save the person. And that's why we should dress our children according to the principles too. Not that dressing our children right saves them, but it does put them in the atmosphere where God can work in their heart. And I thought about that example of Samuel when he was a child. He was working in the temple of the Lord, And it says there that he was dressed, I forget how it says it. Anyway, the way he was dressed was like a man of God. As a child, it says, as a child he was dressed this way, or he wore this clothing. And that didn't make Samuel a righteous man, but I think it helped him, as we think about that, it helped him to be in the right place where God could then call him. And when he was dressed that way was before the Lord spoke to him. And we could ask the question, if he was dressed some other way, would God have spoke to him? Well, God calls all people, but I think it is a lesson that we can learn that right choices in our clothing does not save us, but it does put us it is valuable because it puts us in a place where God can speak to us. I think we can learn from that example of Samuel. Maybe on the sister's side, you could think about what you are promoting in your child's mind when you choose their clothing. You think about that as they see what is their clothes, and can they see that you have a transformed mind, or are you still playing with the old way of life? I think it tells them something. Not that it saves them, but that it is a good reminder, and it points them to the God that you serve. Again, we need to remember that it's a result, Christian values and clothing is a result of transformation and renewed mind. Number three, we live or prove the will of God when it reaches down to everyday things of life. In the last part of verse 2 there, it says that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It does not stop just with right principles. We need to show, need to live, prove these things, the practical things, and this would go for other areas besides clothes and speech and conduct and all areas of life. But that is what this verse wants. As we have that transformation, renewed mind, it proves or lives out the principles of God's Word in everyday life and practical things. If we can apply the principles of God's Word right down to everything that we wear and talk and so forth, it wasn't going to do us much good. Number four, we need humility to follow God's principles of dress. In verse 3, he says that, for the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Pride is a big issue, and pride is what opposes God, and it's pride and high thinking of self that what Satan promotes, and it's what took Satan down to begin with. And we think about Satan promoting pride and vanity, and we think about that as we think about the world. That's what rules the clothing fashions of the world, because that's done in Satan's kingdom. And I'm glad this morning that we have direction that the church gives, and as we follow that, we're not following the fashions of this world. And if we follow the directions that are given in the scripture and the guidelines, that application that the church gives, we're following Christ's kingdom, not the fashions of the world, which is Satan's kingdom. When we think about what rules the fashion world, Satan rules the fashion world, then that should help us to understand that automatically there are things that are a lot, probably most of the clothing that is manufactured, or a lot of it anyway, that is available today does not promote humility, because it's coming from a kingdom that is dominated by pride. So that shows us, would simply tell us that it's done to promote pride, not humility. And this verse is very clear about humility. How can we, he says, not to think more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God dealt to every man the measure of faith. You know, we all need to come to a relationship with Jesus Christ, and there's nothing that we can offer of ourselves that is worth anything to God. It just simply brings us down where we need to be. I think we need a continual remembering of that principle through life. It says in the end of verse 3, as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. We need to continually remember that, what God has done, what God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Okay, number 5 is we have identity as the body of Christ, verses 4 and 5. Notice that we have identity as the body of Christ, not identity as individuals. And there's a lot of unity that comes when we identify with the body of Christ. It has a unifying effect upon us, and it says there that it says members of the body and members of one another. So it seems to me it just brings out that there would be unity as we think about we're all working towards the same goal, and there are things that need to be done in the church, and as we work and serve the same Lord, then there would be a lot of unity in the clothes that we wear as well. The practical everyday things of life would be a lot the same. I think that appreciation for applications is something that helps to build a sense of oneness as well. There are more than one right application. But as a body, as a local body, we have a lot of the same applications. There is room for some differences, I'm sure. But as we work together, we hide our identity in the body of Christ. I think that's so important. It says members of Christ and members of one another. And as we think about that, we just blend in. It doesn't become individualistic. When we promote differences of practice, we are promoting sticking out as an individual. I think we need to be careful about that. We need to blend ourselves with the body of Christ, and not that we're all cast into the same mold. We are made different and have different tastes. That's obvious. But within the direction of the church, I believe it is a place where we can find rest in the practices and applications that are given. Okay, the next one, number 6, the principle of modesty. I want to look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. First Timothy chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. It says, in like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or pearls, or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. If you let out the parentheses in verse 10, it says there'd be, in verse 9, not to be arrayed in these things but with good works. That is the principle of modesty given here. And another thing we need to remember is that modesty is not a sliding scale. It is something that does not change with time. They see that in the world very much. If we follow along certain just behind the world to determine what modesty is, we will soon be immodest. Also, 1 Peter 3. First Peter 3, verse 4 says, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Most of the references that we talk about when it comes to modesty, seems like in the scripture, are given to the lady side, to the sisters. And I think there's probably a reason for that, but I think it is important. It's given to both sides as well, but there is an extra special emphasis on women being careful about modesty, and it's not we don't put the burden on you for that either. I did think about that verse in verse 7. It says, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. And we know that we have our problems as men. Someone has said that men's besetting sin is lust and women's besetting sin is pride of show. And we know that a woman wants to look nice and attractive. And he says that we need to dwell with them according to knowledge. And I think as men, we need to help our ladies to understand that looking, well, we need to have the same values as God does. Let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. And I'd like to suggest that it be in the sight of a godly man of great price as well. So if we dwell with them and promote and encourage them in modesty and simplicity, I think that'll go a long ways. Number 7 is simplicity. While we're here in 1 Peter 3, verse 3, says, whose adorning, let it not be the outward, that outward adorning of plaiting the hair or wearing of gold or putting on of apparel. That's a lot of things that aren't simple. That word there, plaiting the hair, gives the idea of an ornamentation embroidered or braided into the hair of the long hair that their sisters wear. That was something must have been done in that time. It says not to do that and all the extras that go with it. Back in 1 Timothy again. First Timothy 2, verse 9, the last part of that verse says, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array. Again, some of the same things that are given. Simplicity is a very beautiful thing. Beautifully simple is simply beautiful, I think someone said. And we think about, as we make application to clothes in our churches and there never will be a way that we can just legislate the whole thing. I would not even be interested in that this morning, but that we have the spirit of modesty, the spirit of a separation from the world and simplicity. And the things that are given can be example to us in other areas of life. If something is not spelled out, we can look at the things that are spelled out and make application to them. Okay, the last point I have is separation. In Romans chapter, back in Romans chapter 12 again. It says, be not conformed to this world, and be ye transformed. We talk about that nonconformity being a result of the transformation and the renewed mind, and that makes a separation. And there are several points I have under separation, and one of them is separation from the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verses 17 and 18 says, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Come out from among them and be ye separate. That's a command that Jesus gives. And certainly as we separate ourselves from the ungodliness of society, there's a separation that comes right down into how we dress. I don't know how else to say it. In Numbers, well, let's go to John 17, first of all. John 17, 14 through 16 says, for I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. There he brings out the thing of us not being part of the world. We're in the world. Many of the same things that we deal with on a daily basis are the same as what the world does. And that brings out a point of many of the things that are practical. The world and the Christian wear a lot of the same things when it comes to practicality, like such as work clothes. But when it comes to pointing to which God we serve, that's where separation really stands out. And Jesus said that he doesn't pray that we should be taken out, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. I think that's part of separation. Numbers 15. Numbers 15, 37 to 40. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a ribbon of blue. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that ye may look upon it, and remember all the commandments of the Lord, and do them, and that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, which after which ye used to go a-whoring, that ye may remember and do all my commandments, and be ye holy, and be holy unto your God. And he reminds them, verse 41, For I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. He was giving them something here to wear that reminded them of their separation from the world around them. And it's interesting to notice that in the New Testament, Jesus rebuked the Pharisees because they put more emphasis on the border that he commands here, and they didn't take interest in remembering all the commandments of the Lord to do them. So the ribbon was to point them to the Word of God, not to be displayed for the ribbon itself. And does that help us in our clothes selection? It is a remembrance as we dress according to the principles of God's Word. As we think about that, it reminds us that we are children of God. No, it don't make us obey the commandments, but as we obey them, this comes out of that, I believe. Another principle of separation is the difference between genders, between male and female. Deuteronomy 22, verse 5. I know this is an Old Testament scripture, but I think it would carry in our day. Deuteronomy 22, verse 5. Says, The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. Here he was given a commandment in the Old Testament not to change back and forth between women and men's garments. Women had their set and men had their set, and it says that they weren't allowed to do that. And in 1 Corinthians 11, he brings that, it also brings that out, that there is a separation between a woman's dress and a man's dress, even to the matter, especially as talking about in 1 Corinthians 11, the way you wear your hair. But I think if we wear the hair that way, it would apply to other garments as well. And so there is a need to be separate. And a lot of times what is modest for a man is not for a woman, and vice versa. Okay, the last thing I have here is separation for eternity. Revelation 18, verse 16. Notice that clothes is mentioned here. And this is talking about the fall of Babylon. It says, And saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. And that city fell, and it was a separation from God. And many of those, if you notice, some of those words right there are mentioned in 1 Peter 3 and 1 Timothy 2, not to wear those kind of things. So it separated these people from God. Now let's go to Revelation 21, verse 2. Revelation 21, I'll read the first three verses. And it says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. I think that's the glory of separation we can look forward to as we separate ourselves from the ungodliness of society, and we separate ourselves because we love the Lord and we love his kingdom. And then we can look forward to this time. It says that it's as a bride adorned for her husband. Our eyes need to be on the Lord Jesus Christ and be ready to be part of that marriage supper of the Lamb. Let's kneel for prayer.